In order to make today's message as important as it needs to be for you, I need to explain to you a problem that I see in Christianity, in our church and in the churches around the world that I've had the opportunity to train pastors and leaders. And it's this. Everybody talks about their Christian walk and they're excited that their sins are forgiven. How many know that's an incredible thing? And that heaven is your home because the sin issue has been dealt with. And so many people, my sins are forgiven. But then they spend the rest of their Christian life looking for sin in their life and repenting from sin in their life and confessing sin in their life and looking for any other sin in their life. I know because I was there. Even as a young pastor, when I first came to Springs, and God began to move through the team here at us, and we began to see God do incredible things. Am I getting proud? Am I getting this? And I was just so focused on, how am I doing here? And I'm searching my heart, and I'm searching my mind, and I'm searching my life, and I'm searching what I'm saying and what I'm doing. It was so sin conscious. And it just destroys your life. So, pastor, shouldn't we be aware of the sin? Oh, you'll be aware the second you sin. But you go searching for it day after day. And people are really good at judging you. You're getting proud. And it's like you're too focused on money. And it's all about you. The enemy, whatever direction starts to tempt you, the enemy has people saying things. But the apostle Paul had that so badly, he finally said, you know what? I'm judged by no man. Go ahead and judge me. I'm not listening. You ain't my judge. And he had to deal with this issue of people. And so the issue is that I've noticed that many Christians who are excited about their sins are forgiven and they're going to heaven, they don't change much. Observation, they don't change much. They live their lives like the rest of the world, the same percentage of divorces, the same issues with depression and heartache and fear and sickness and disease and calamity and the same anger issues. And they're just not much different than the world. They're going to go to heaven. If they believe on Jesus, they're going to go to heaven when they die. But they're living like hell while they're on the planet, the same way the world is, because they've really missed out on why Jesus came to the planet. It's more than just my sins are forgiven, I'm going to heaven, and swing low, sweet chariot, and rescue me from this world of woe. No, actually, Jesus came, and he died for you, and your sins are forgiven, and heaven is your home, but he came to live through you. He came for his life to be in you. And so to you mature Christians who are wondering what the next season is for your life, who are wondering what more is there for me to do, you be careful because you get stuck in your Christianity and you just become a religious person, and religion sucks. Religion is one of the worst things you could ever imagine. In fact, when Jesus came to this planet, he came to end all religions and give everybody a personal relationship with Jesus. But few Christians I find recognize, grow in faith in this area. I am filled with the life of Jesus. And until you get there, you will struggle. Jesus said it this way to some of the people who knew the word better than anybody on the planet in John 5:39. He says to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, they could almost quote the whole New Testament, their Old Testament, they're so into it. He said, you carefully study, you search, you examine the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. They do, in fact, testify about me. Concerning me on my behalf. One verse says that you've searched the scriptures and the scriptures talk about me and here I am and you don't even recognize me. Therein lies many Christians today. They've got a need. They've got an area they're struggling with. And they go to the Word and they're looking for the formula to get their marriage happier, get more sex, get more love, get healed, get the depression gone, the emptiness out of their spirit gone, and all the blessings and all the formulas and how do you do this and how do you do that? And the Bible's got a ton of them. And they're incredible. How to build a country is in there. How to build a family is in there. How to become healed, how to have your mind at peace is in there. How to walk in a way that you are untouchable by the people that attack you and God is your rear. It's all in there. It's incredible. But Jesus said, the scriptures are supposed to lead you to me, Jesus. And so few people have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is an area I struggled with as a young pastor. When Sal and I came to Springs in 94, and, you know, we just loved this little team that was here, and we had lots of problems, but God just began to work through us as a team, and things began to happen, and this church began to grow in just a stunning way. And as I began to find problems where I needed staff, and how do you staff something that's doubling every year for the first 5 years? And so I began to study staffs. Begin to study systems and structures. I begin to study business and how the business world did it. And I'm talking study. I'm talking literally minimum a book a day. I read my way through Drucker. I had a friend who gave me his MBA books. I began to study and read everything I could get on. And then I found out that when it came to staff as well, that you have to understand things like the DISC system and the psychology of getting people together. So I began to read my way through all the psychology books I get my hands on that understood the dynamics of putting people into groups and how do you do this. And I would just read and study and study and read. And anything that would help me to be a better pastor, that would help me to understand the business side, the financial side, the people side, the system side, the structure side, and then how do you impact people? I begin to study what it would take to help as a church touch the nation, touch the world. And so I've been on this journey of just acquiring knowledge. And I'm not saying that's bad, and I'm so glad I did it. But somewhere in this mix, I left out Jesus. And then the drain began to come on me, the burden of finding answers and developing me so that I was at least the kind of pastor you needed. I could be at least the kind of husband that Sally needed. I want to be the kind of father. And so there was this go that was in me. And I'm talking ferociously. I mean, I went to conferences. I went to study anything I could. And I remember one day thinking to myself, there's just too much left to study. I don't know how I'm ever going to do this. And I begin to just call out to Jesus and just say, God, I love studying, I love learning, I love growing, I love leadership, I love the things that I know, I love imparting it to the people around, from the business world to everything else. And then one day I begin to recognize that I'm supposed to go to the scriptures first to know Jesus. I need a relationship with Jesus, and all I've got is an educated head, which is good, but better with Jesus. And I begin to look at the scriptures differently, and I want to talk to you about this. And when I looked at the scriptures differently, and I began to deal with it differently, something changed on the inside of me, and Holy Spirit became my helper. And all of a sudden, in the midst of a business deal that I couldn't seem to land or salvage for properties and lands, I felt Holy Spirit just nudge me, say this, and I would say it. And all of my acumen on how to speak and convince and how to negotiate and all the stuff that I'd read and studied, you know, was cool, but that one question secured the entire business deal. Well, wow, that was easy. And then I would be in another situation, whether it was counseling and trying to find some way of bringing two people together and thinking through all the psychology of this and all the counseling of that and being careful for transference over here and all the buzzwords over there. And then I'd just be quiet for a minute. God would say, tell them this. And I would tell them that. And walls begin to come down and things begin to be restored. And I recognized in all of your getting, in all of your acquiring, in all of your knowledge, in all of your wisdom, if you have not developed your relationship with Jesus, how empty you will be. Even as a believer who's on his way to heaven, you will not understand, you will not enjoy the journey because you don't have this relationship. Jesus said, you study the scriptures. And he says, you think you're going to find life. Now, the word eternal life doesn't mean just heaven. Eternal life means the quality of life. Some of you might now be just seeking God to restore my marriage. Some of you are just here because your mind needs to be healed. Some of you are here because I gotta heal my family. Some of you are here because you're just so empty with no purpose, even in the midst of your success. Others might be here because of, I don't know what the reason is. And I've got news for you. Though God's word has the answer, so you're in the right place. And to study and to learn is absolutely crucial. I haven't slowed down my book a day, but I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, there is nothing like it to be able to recognize that Holy Spirit is my helper. And so as I learn and grow, a lot of it is so that he can speak and guide me in a way so that I can handle and learn and grow. But Holy Spirit, okay, he is my helper. I see Jesus in the Word. When I study the Word, I see Jesus, that I would not have his favor for health and healing except Jesus qualifies me. And it's not my wisdom. There is no brilliance I have that has done it. I can learn all that I can. The Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the one from God that's going to work. He didn't say stop planning. He didn't say stop learning. He didn't say stop developing. Okay? Study the Bible. He used Moses to lead his people out of the promised land, who was the highest trained person on the planet. How do I know? Because they in Egypt, they were the highest trained country at the time. And he was brought up for 40 years through the training to be a Pharaoh. God used him. Paul, one of the highest trained guys in the scriptures, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So everyone says, you don't need to study. God's going to just use those. Of course, he'll use everybody. But don't think for a minute that just because God's blessed you, but you're no good at carpentry, that I'm going to have you build my cabinets. In other words, the development of skill, the development of wisdom, the development of knowledge, the development of understanding is crucial. And you're all gifted in some area and you should go for it. But if you do not have, as a Christian, if you do not have an active relationship with Jesus Christ, somewhere, I promise you, well, you already have found that out, that you don't seem to live any differently than people in the world. They might have an advantage. They get to get drunk once in a while. Joking. So how do we live this Christian life where as we grow and learn and accomplish that Jesus is the very pinnacle of what we seek for? The Apostle Paul, who walked in incredible things at the end of his life, didn't say, I wish I'd have reached more cities. He didn't say, I wish I'd have trained more pastors. He didn't say, he said, oh, that I might know him. How do we know Jesus? How do we develop a relationship with all that goes on? Well, the Bible's interesting. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says to Timothy, this is Paul talking, he says, since you were a child, you've known the holy scriptures, the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise. And that wisdom leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Did you know that as you grow in the Word of God, there should be a faith that grows in you that Jesus is with you. He goes before you. He's behind you. He's around you. And that he'll never leave you or forsake you. I remember one time walking through a rough area of town, and we were just handing out invites to a conference or a concert we were doing. I had 4 or 5 young men sitting in one of the areas that are on the bar, and so I handed them an invite, a tract, and they all jumped up and got around me in a circle. And you can see I was in trouble. One guy, they all kind of grabbed this tract, invite, and just scrambled through it at my feet. And they said, what's this about? Is this Jesus stuff? Who's Jesus? I said, well, Jesus is my friend. Your friend? I said, yeah, he's my Savior. They said, well, these are my friends, the ringleader said. And me and my friends are going to kick the beep, beep, beep out of you. So what's your friend Jesus going to do for you now? Oh, I said, that's not a problem. I said, my friend Jesus, he's in charge of all the angels of heaven, so he's going to do one of two things. He's going to have the angels protect me from you guys, or he's going to give me the ability to take all 4 or 5 of you. Both are in the Bible. he looks at me, and I thought, well, okay, God, which one is it? And he looks at me and he says, what kind of Christian are you? Because he's used to the wimpy, pathetic, you know, please don't hit me. Jesus loves you. I said, I'm actually the real kind. They all sat down on the fence and I shared for 45 minutes to an hour of who Jesus really is. You see, and what's interesting was it wasn't some kind of a male macho bravado. It came out of my mouth before I could seem to stop it. And I recognized that there's a peace that was there. I knew that Jesus was with me. I knew that he says he would protect me. To the place where Psalms 91 says, even if I just stub my toe, angels, can I begin to believe of the closeness of Jesus, that he is my peace, that he is my joy, he is my protection, he is my promotion, he is with me, he's prepared paths. Jesus wouldn't lead me in a path to go get punched out. Jesus is going to guide me in areas of success. So when you begin to understand Jesus, so this faith in Jesus is crucial. Now, in John chapter 1, and verse 1 to 4, this is really, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This Jesus who died on the cross for you, when you give him your life, Christian, you are supposed to be ignited with power and energy and the light of him. It's not just your sins are forgiven, but that this Jesus is living his life through you. Did anybody touch Jesus until he gave himself? No one did. Was Jesus sick before he went to the cross? No, he took your sicknesses. Was Jesus ever in need with it? No. And he is our model. The Bible says, follow Jesus. He came down to give us an example of the life that we should live. So if you begin to get formula-minded, here's how to get healed, here's how to have a good marriage, without Jesus, you will struggle. But when you seek his kingdom first, when you put Jesus in the relationship with him first, everything becomes easy. Because you begin to recognize that you can't do it in your strength, so his grace, his unearned ability becomes yours. And this is something you need to deal with in your life, because if you don't, everybody here is looking for what's the next season for me. Every one of us. If you're not, you should be. God, what have you got for us? Where are we going from here? Is this Groundhog Day? Are we just going to keep doing the same old thing every 24 hours? But the Bible says the light grows brighter and brighter until that perfect day. The Bible says that ahead of you, God has prepared paths ahead of time in Ephesians 2:10, and that he has prepared good works for you to do. What does that mean? You've got purpose. There's things you should be doing. And just you with the gifts and the abilities, you're going to discover them and find them and move on. But this is only going to happen if you're following Jesus. Now, when you get into God's word properly, you begin to sense and know Jesus. Now, see, Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus has always been. I mean, he's been with the Father. It's a bit of a mystery, this mystery of godliness, that when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just to forgive your sins, but that he would live his life in you and through you, and that you would walk into situations, and you've got a choice. Just move to your own understanding. Move over to your flesh. Move over to your ability, or you stand there, and in a second on the inside, your faith responds and goes, Jesus, you are with me. What should I do? And it's this quick shift, and all of a sudden, rising out of your spirit becomes answers on how to deal with things. Comes healing that heals your body. I met with a very learned theologian in the Christian faith, and I'd interviewed him for one of the talk shows in one of the cities in the States. And so we went out for supper afterwards, and you know, we began to talk a little bit, and brilliant man. I just loved listening to him talk. And so I'd ask him a few questions and let him just speak. And then I asked him a question about God's ability to heal and move in people's lives today. And when I did that, he smiled and began to give me this profound teaching on why miracles don't happen. It went through the Greek. It went through the covenants. It went through, you know, especially language. They're really good at it. And so when he got done, I said, so what do I say now if I tell you that I've seen God raise 4 people from the dead? What happens if I tell you that I've seen people walk after getting a broken hip, x-rays to prove it, that it's totally healed? What do you say if I tell you that a growth disappeared in front of a surgical team and the doctor admitted it to me, and you're telling me that he doesn't do miracles? He kind of did a couple guppies, and he said, well, I guess I have one of 2 things to think about. Either you're the biggest liar I've ever met, or I need to check up a little on my doctrine. And I said, yeah. You see, herein lies a man who loves the word, loved Jesus, but he's more theology than relationship. And I want to challenge you to study the word, get into God's word, learn and grow. But the area that I have learned that helps me the most is as I grow in the things he wants me to learn. And I continue to study and learn. I love new information and I love teaching others from the business world to marriages, to families, to homes. I love all that stuff. But I have found with all that I have learned to submit it to Jesus. And say, okay, Jesus, I'm going into here. So I'm like, well, I've done all this. The man of the power in the hour is here. Sit me down somewhere and I will solve this. That'll get you into big trouble. But if you humble yourself and say, God, guide me, lead me in the decisions that will be made in this meeting today. Guide me in the decisions that are going to affect Springs for generations. What should I do here? And in the quietness of my own heart, because it's often not quiet around me, I'll just know. And I'll say, well, let's do this. And sometimes people kind of go, well, how did you know that? I don't know, I just knew. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. He'll carry your burdens. Casting your cares on him, we talked about a few weeks ago. You know, why do you carry all these worries and all these concerns? If you will begin to go to the word. Now when I read the word, it's no longer a cramming to get as many principles and things. I'm reading the word and just saying, teach me. Oh, that's good. What did you mean by this, Holy Spirit? What does that mean? And oh man, Jesus, I'm just loving you. You're just cool. Or I'll listen to preaching of the word each day. Or read great authors' teaching books to begin. And the whole purpose isn't to acquire a wisdom that I can save myself. It literally continually teaches me that you can either go macho, arrogant, and proud and look after yourself, which is what religion has always gone wrong. Or I can begin to submit myself to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, Jesus, who was all God, yet all man, guiding me through the entanglements of everyday life. If you think your life is complex, if you think I do not know what to do, maybe you have begun to rely too much on your own acumen, your own wisdom, your own understanding. I have found that the more I study, the more I learn right across the board, the more I've become dependent on Jesus. And so, okay, where do we go from here? How do I handle this? Help me with this person. I'm irritated. I want to get rid of them. What should I do here? God, I got to go meet this person over here. And they're crying and there's tears flowing down. I don't want to just say some cute little saying that everyone's been saying to them. Is there anything that should come from your heart? And it's amazing to me. I remember one time meeting with a band, very popular secular band traveling across Canada and the States, and we met with a couple of them, and this one guy gave his life to Christ, and his brother just arrogantly smiling at me as we're talking, and he's, I don't believe in this God stuff, you guys talk about God, da 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 da, and I said, really? I said, well, and all of a sudden I just felt like asking him, what would convince you? He said, I don't know. Would God show you anything about me? And I don't tell people that. I don't say that. But all of a sudden, out of my spirit came something. It's not cute, and I'm not telling you what it was. So I reached over and whispered in his ear, and his eyeballs went boom. He shook. showed you that? I said, is it true? How else would I know it? I've just found in situations that to build a relationship with Jesus, to learn to listen to the still small voice, that the more you learn and the more you grow, the more successful you are in an area, be careful, because you'll get arrogant and proud and think you the man, you the woman, you've arrived. You'll look down your nose at others because look where you have gotten, and you have forgotten that it is God that has helped you with this success. It is His presence that has taken you to where you are. And that if you want to go further, you must develop this relationship with Jesus. And I can't teach you how. What? I can't. When you look at Jesus' teaching to his disciples, Mark chapter 4 says that he taught everything in parables, stories, and then he would take his disciples and he would teach them privately. And one of the things that was really interesting is it says there, and I'm not going to preach much on this, but it said that so that people wouldn't read and understand his teaching and get right with God. I thought, well, isn't that what you want? But as you get into some of this, you realize that people with the wrong heart would love to learn the scripture in order to mess with us. Because most false doctrine and confusing doctrine, the Bible says, comes from literally the enemy. He'll get involved. And so there's just such a disorganized look at the Bible. And people just struggle and argue and fight over all this stuff. And so when it comes to God's word, I forgot the point I was making there, but let me keep going. When it comes to God's word and you begin to read it, be very aware and talk to Jesus. What can I do here? What can I do there? Because the greatest thing in your life will be able to have this sense. You know, I've never heard an audible voice, ever. I get tired of the people who talk, yeah, the Lord told me this yesterday, and the day before told me this. It was an audible voice? Well, no. All I get are impressions, knowings that come from His presence. And as I read the Word of God, as I come to church, or I hear people's testimonies, there's just something, there's always a direction deep from within the inside that God is giving me. And without it, I would be so absolutely useless. Don't ever look at me and think he's smarter. It's this or that that has helped. No, none of that. None of that. It is Jesus and his leading. Then it is Jesus on the inside of us, each of us, from the piano player to the pastors to those who within them is life. And that life is light. It's illuminating. It is guiding them. Within them is healing. And it's not just a little dab. It's the healer is within them. Within them is the richest person that ever was in the universe, whose heaven's streets are paved with gold, who knows everything about business, is within you. The greatest psychologist that could ever explain to you the psyche and people's relationships, God who created you, is within you. He'll guide you through that relationship. And then you can be at peace. You can have what the old timers said, just trust in God. They didn't mean don't read the Bible, don't learn, don't grow. They just meant in all your learning and all your growing, rely on this relationship with Him. 2019, make it about relationship. Continue to read, to study, because we're designed that way. You're just designed to learn, to grow. Every baby is learning and growing. Every teenager is learning and growing. And every adult should be learning and growing. If you don't, depression is quickly on the heels of that. But in the learning and the growing, rely on the presence of Jesus. Rely on a relationship with Him. And I don't mean to just fix everything for you. I mean to enjoy Him. Did you know that you can have a faith in Jesus that each day He'll be with me, His peace will be with me. Each day, His not just, you know, He's going to heal me if a problem comes, but each day health flows in my body. You know, it's Mark chapter 16 says that if you eat any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. A big issue right now is all of the toxins, all of the junk that they're creating and pouring onto our planet that is poisoning, and it's true, poisoning everything. I mean, the sperm count on men is dropping every 10 years drastically. You start looking at some of the stuff that's going on. This world is bad, but in the midst of it, as believers, eat right, do right, whatever you're going to do with herbs and vitamins and your doctor, but in the midst of it, where's your faith in believing that if I eat any deadly thing, it will not hurt me. We think it's only if someone tries to poison you. But what about that hormone-filled meat if that's all you've got? What about that acid rain that's still, what about the water you're drinking that's got all this stuff that's flowing? Like, I've read tons of stuff on that. I like that kind of stuff too. And in my learning and in my balancing of my diet and all that's there, I must put Christ first and go, now I believe that every bit I eat is health to my body and that you remove sickness from the midst of my home. See, the Bible is filled with beautiful things, but put Jesus first and that relationship will give you a peace. Other than that, your peace is in yourself learning new formulas. Everyone's looking for a missing key. Everyone's looking for a missing ingredient. And when you do, when you think that way, you're always in a state of worry and anxiety because you might be missing something. You might not know something. And it might cost you your life because you don't know what. But when you rely on Him, He will guide you. He will lead you. He will touch you. His presence will go before you. He'll protect you. These promises come alive when He's your helper. This year to you mature Christians, have you gotten a little too cocky because you know the doctrines of the Bible? And have you lost this daily relationship with Him? To those who are new in the things of God, recognize that, yes, get out and learn. Get out to our midweek stuff. Grow and learn. I'm never going to stop. I'm just going to make sure that every day there's a relationship with Jesus. Because He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That means that all that you need should happen in an effortless way. Health should just begin to change everything in your body. Prosperity should just begin to happen around you as all the right connections and the decisions begin to happen. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that when you plant God's word into your heart, it says you go to bed at night and the seed grows and you don't know how. That's how effortless it is to trust Him. To believe Him. 2019, get a relationship with Jesus. And as you read the Word, speak to Him. Ask Him to reveal things to you. And just take this whole thinking. It's a little bit of a fine-tuning. I'm not just on my own trying to find new formulas and answers. But Holy Spirit is my helper. He's with me. And He's going to help me in all that is ahead of me. Father, I pray today that each of us, wherever we are, would make a decision that it's about knowing Jesus. It's not just about fixing our lives. It's about craving a relationship with You. It is about spending time with You, talking to You, opening our heart to You, asking You to guide us and lead us. In every situation, we ask You first, and then we go about dealing with things. Let this go deep into each person here, I pray. Every head bowed for just a moment. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you're here and you say, well, Leon, I'm just checking things out, but I don't know Him, then I want to lead you in a powerful prayer. Now, this prayer is powerful because no one can pray it for you but you. But once you ask Him, He will come in and be the best friend you've ever had. He will come in and guide you in areas you'd never know on your own. He will come in and bear burdens. And He'll come in and heal and bring peace and joy. And all that you'll ever need will be found in this relationship between you and God. So before I lead you in this prayer, and I'm going to lead right from the stage. For those who would say, Leon, I don't know Jesus as my Savior and Lord. And I need to accept Him. Or maybe you've really taken off and you say, Leon, I need to come back and get right with God. If that's you, before I pray, if you want to be included in this prayer, would you slip your hand up all over the auditorium and say, include me? Thank you, thank you. Others, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just looking for your hand. Ushers are helping me. Thank you, awesome. Thank you back there. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Let's all pray with these amazing folks and those who are joining us on the big screen in our other campuses. Raise your hands towards that leader at the front. Let God see your hand. Let there be a confidence in you that says, I'm making this decision because I know it. And get that hand. Don't be embarrassed. Don't let fear ever hold you back. I'm waiting like 2-3 seconds. Just let Him see your hand. And I'm going to pray. And we're all going to pray together right through that screen. Let's all together pray and say, Dear God, I give You my life. Come into my heart. Thank You for forgiving me, and I'm following You as my Savior and Lord. For the rest of my days, I want a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.